Our minds are pretty chaotic systems, which is why following the middle way is so difficult. It's so easy for a chaotic system to get knocked out of equilibrium, to veer off to the left, to veer off to the right. Staying in the middle is difficult, requires a lot of balance. It's no wonder that when psychologists describe the workings of the mind, they tend to use fluid mechanics as a main analogy. In other words, the way water swirls around and moves and gets pushed down here, goes underground, comes out over there. Sometimes builds up into huge waves. I was reading the other day about these enormous waves that suddenly form out in the ocean. Things come together just right. This little wave adds on to that little wave, and all of a sudden they build into these enormous waves that flow through the ocean and then suddenly mysteriously dissipate. Not the same with the mind. Sometimes these huge waves come through the mind and you wonder where they came from. Then it's easy for tiny little things to set them off. So on the one hand, this is why we have to be careful in our practice. Don't regard the little details or the little distractions as totally unimportant. And John Munn used to have a statement, he would say that it's very rare that a whole tree gets into somebody's eye, but sometimes just thought us can get into your eye and blind you. Sometimes it's the little things that set you off. So on the one hand, you have to be careful about those. On the other, though, you have to be confident that even when the mind does get knocked off balance, you can bring it back. Because otherwise, the practice is just full of fear all the time. Afraid you tip off to this direction too far, afraid you'll tip off to that direction too far. And there's only one way of learning what the balance point is, and that's experimenting. And you can experiment only when you're not afraid. So you can have to develop the confidence that even though when you do go far off the path to one side or the other, you can pull yourself back. There's always that new opportunity in the mind to give yourself a fresh start. In this way, you can experiment and you do get a sense of where that balance is because you know that no mistakes are fatal. You can come back, put yourself on the path again. You fall off, well, you put yourself back on the path again. Again, as a John Munn once said, it's normal for people to go off on the side, to get stuck on the right side of the path looking at the flowers, sniffing the breeze, to get stuck on the left side of the path. We just get stuck in the mud. But you find you can extract yourself from both sides. This is what the techniques of meditation are for. They assume that you're going to go off on either side, and so they give you paths for bringing yourself back. When the level of energy in your mind is too strong, say, and you suddenly find yourself thinking about all kinds of stuff, there are calming practices. When your level goes weak, you start getting bored. Nothing seems to interest you, nothing seems to be worth doing. Well, the practice is for getting yourself back on. You think about your motivation, why you're practicing. And there's that factor the Buddha calls analysis of qualities, which means really looking carefully at what's going on. Often we get bored with the meditation when we get sloppy, when we're not really paying careful attention. Nothing new seems to be coming. And you start getting bored. because you're not paying careful attention. Look very carefully to what you're doing. Look very carefully at each breath. Then you begin to see things that you didn't notice before. This is why mindfulness and alertness are qualities that are appropriate at all times. Reminding yourself why you're on the path, and then being very careful to look at what you're doing. Being very precise in watching what's going on. And you begin to see there's a lot going on here in the present moment. After all, you're creating a world here in the present moment. And that's not a simple activity. There's lots to observe, lots to notice. Starting with the simple building blocks, the breath. The mental qualities that are called directed thought and evaluation. The ones that do all that chattering in your mind. You direct your thought to a particular topic and then you think about it, you evaluate it. You say, this is this and that's that and this is good and that's bad. Well, you take those very basic building blocks and you put them together. You direct your thought to the breath. You evaluate the breath. Then the final set of building blocks, feelings and perceptions. Feelings of pleasure or pain, neither pleasure nor pain, and the labels you put on all these things. Well, you apply those to the breath as well. So you've got all the basic building blocks for your experience right here. And instead of building them into elaborate things, you very consciously don't. You build them into something very simple. A focused state of mind. Now, simple doesn't mean easy, because as I said, there are all these other currents going on in the mind. But as you keep coming back, you're coming back to these building blocks on a simple level. Keep it basic. But be very observant. Because the reason things don't stay basic in the mind is that we're so good at whipping things up out of these building blocks. It's like a meringue or whipped cream. You take a little tiny bit of whipped cream, a little tiny bit of cream, and all of a sudden you whip it up in this big blob of whipped cream. There's a lot of air in there. A lot of fabrication going on. So what you want to do is keep things basic, but be very observant. Because you've got lots of tricks up your sleeve for creating something out of nothing. Making mountains out of tiniest molehills. So keep it on the level of molehills. Very simple, very basic. And keep your eye out for those other tricks. That's where things get fascinating, is realizing how you deceive yourself all the time. Sometimes it comes down to the whole level of dishonesty in the mind. One part of the mind is very good at lying to another part of the mind. And you can start asking yourself, well, who's actually fooling whom here? Where is that shade? Where is that wall that allows one part of the mind to fool another part of the mind? Or does it depend on the other part of the mind's willingness to be fooled? There's lots of interesting political maneuvers going on in the mind. So watch out for those. Unfortunately, the best way of dealing with them is to keep things basic, just refuse to play along. When things do come up in the mind, you're trying to get it to settle down, try to cut things off as quickly as possible. A thought comes into the mind, you remember this person, you actually see this person's face, that person's face, so we just say, okay, goodwill for that person, and that's enough. You don't have to get involved in the stories that were often associated with those faces. And in the beginning, you don't have to trace those faces back. Well, how did that image come? Just leave it, let it go. This principle of keeping things simple, that's what enables balance to come more and more easily to the mind. Because you can see those little movements that might otherwise set things off. With they call the butterfly effect. You know, the butterfly flaps its wings in Hong Kong, and a jetliner, as a result of the different currents of air, suddenly a jetliner crashes in Texas. So keep things simple so that you're aware of those little butterfly flutterings in the mind. But fortunately, when the mind crashes, it's not like Texas Airlines. It doesn't die. Unless you let it die. You can always pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and move on. This is a good thing in the practice they talk about. In the case of King Ajatasattu, who killed his father. And then later felt a lot of regret. And there's a tradition that he's going to become a private Buddha someday, even though he's got some really bad karma to pay off first. Even Mara. There's a figure of temptation in the early Buddhist texts. There's a tradition that he too will someday become a Buddha. So no matter how much your mind may seem ready to crash, or if it has already crashed, you can always take heart, pick yourself up, because there's always new karma, always new things you can do. No mistakes are fatal. When you have that confidence, then you can experiment in the mind. Find out how much practice is too much, how much practice is too little. How much activity in the mind is too much as you meditate that gets you all stirred up? How much is too little a level of energy that you start falling asleep? These are all questions of balance, and they can be answered only by experimenting, trying for yourself, finding out for yourself what's too much, what's too little, what's too far to the right, what's too far to the left. With the confidence that no matter what your mistakes, you can always correct them. You can always learn from them. That's the important thing. It's not just a mistake as a really bad thing that happened, then you've got to make up for it afterwards. Use it as a learning experience. When you approach everything as a learning experience, then no meditation is wasted. Every meditation becomes an opportunity to learn. And it's just a question of whether you take that opportunity or not. They talk about the basis of success in meditation. Concentration based on desire and right effort. Concentration based on persistence or energy and right effort. Concentration based on intentness and right effort. Concentration based on mind's powers of analysis and right effort. And they talk about how important it is to get balance in all these factors, because your desire can be too strong, too weak, your persistence can be way overboard, or it can be really lax. The same with intentness, or the using your powers of analysis. Sometimes they can be just right for getting the mind concentrated, sometimes they go way overboard, and sometimes they're not enough. And there's only one way to learn balance in all these things, and that's through trial and error. Now, I know we in here in America are all busy people. We want things to be packaged easily so we can get the most out of them and move on to our next whatever. But the practice isn't like that. There isn't a next whatever to move on to. This is the most important issue that's facing the mind right now, the fact that it's creating suffering for itself. And it's an activity that gives results only when you are willing to be patient and experiment and learn from your mistakes. But take heart, even the Buddha made mistakes. All the noble disciples have made mistakes. It's just that they were willing to learn from them. And didn't let the mistakes get them down.